are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, December the 19th. And a showcase weekend for some of the Detroit Pistons. It's your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for the follows on social media. Appreciate you guys sticking with us through a tough season, another tough season of Pistons basketball. Fun night. Spend some time with Doc Joe Brown over at the Greatest Wrestling Collection. Some of my buddies, Big Steve's got the Greatest Wrestling Collection over there. Give them a follow on Instagram at Greatest Wrestling Collection if you're a wrestling fan. Unbelievable stuff. Watch the unboxing of some of the paraphernalia that came in, the memorabilia that came in. Just an amazing performance by Winter there. Just really good stuff. And you should all check it out on all the platforms. Fandemonium on Facebook as well. I got a link to it on my Twitter page. Good stuff. Good seeing Beware, who is our guy who put our music together. So shouts to those guys, and keep doing the good work. Support the independent creators. Support the independent media out there. We really appreciate, and thanks for giving us the support of the Locked On Pistons podcast. But today, we're going to look ahead to tonight's game against the Boston Celtics. We're also going to touch on Saturday night back home in Detroit, the second half of back-to-back against the Chicago Bulls. But I'm also going to tell you why this is a showcase weekend as we talk about trades, possible trades coming up for the Pistons. And we're also going to get into some listener reactions and comments from the Google voicemail line before we wrap it up for the week. Give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons back in action tonight in Boston to take on the Celtics, a 7:30 game, a little bit later than usual. This is the first meeting of the season between the two teams. The Celtics took 3 out of 4 against Detroit last year, a two-game winning streak at home in this series. But before that was that crazy Andre Drummond game 2 years ago, an inspirational effort by the big man there. I remember I watched that one down in Florida a couple Thanksgivings ago. And I had a thought that maybe outside of that game they had really had limited success down playing in Boston, and that I don't remember a lot of wins for the Pistons in recent history over there. But it turns out I was pretty much wrong. They actually do pretty well. In fact, last year was the first year since 2012-13 when the Pistons didn't win one game in Boston. And that year they only played once in Boston. So more years than not lately they split that. They get one of those, so maybe the Pistons have a chance. On Friday night, the Pistons come in at 11-17, really struggling right now, a two-game losing streak after they looked like they were maybe putting things together a little bit. Good news is that Brooklyn lost on Thursday night to San Antonio, so that's good for the Pistons, but they're still in 10th place alone in the Eastern Conference, one game out of the East playoffs behind Orlando, a half game behind Charlotte as well. But man, if you're a real Pistons fan, you want to beat Boston bad every single time. It's a win that would mean a lot more if it were to happen, especially on a night like tonight when the Pistons need a nice turnaround to the season. You always root against Boston if you're a Pistons fan. Even against the Lakers, in my book, I always rooted for LeBron when he played against Boston, whether he's with the Heat or the Cavs. And I know some of the Pistons fans hate LeBron even more than Boston. I think that's probably a generational thing. If you grew up in a time when I grew up, we just hate us some Celtics. That's for sure. Boston, to me, is just the hate is seared into my heart with this franchise. But an interesting injury report on both sides. Kind of hard to pick who gets the advantage in this one based on the who's out and who's doubtful. So if you're doubtful, you might play. Questionable, who knows? So the Celtics, Gordon Hayward is questionable, so he might not go. Vincent Poirier, he's out. He's not playing. Marcus Smart's out, kind of the soul of the Boston Celtics and a guy who's killed the Pistons in the past. Left eye infection. Sound familiar? Brad Wanamaker, he's probable, doesn't matter. And Robert Williams, the Time Lord, he's out as well. But for the Pistons, in addition to Christian Wood being out, that was the kind of the bigger news from Thursday, another MRI coming up. Again, Seems to be pretty positive about what's going on with him, but going to miss Friday night's game, especially with the back-to-back, doesn't surprise me much at all. But the big, the more surprising news, Luke Kennard with the bilateral knee and also Blake Griffin with the usual soreness that he's dealing with in his leg. Those guys were deemed doubtful on the injury report for this one. Celtics, I mean, they're 18-7. They're rolling again this year. They had a recent stretch of 6 out of 7 wins that was broken up by a 2-game losing streak recently to Indiana and Philly. But they won again in their game Wednesday against the Luka Doncic-less Dallas Mavericks. I'm going to give the Celtics a rest advantage for sure in this one. Both teams played on Wednesday night and traveled to Boston for this one on Friday. But before the Dallas game on Wednesday that we're talking about, Boston had nearly a week off before that. They didn't play for 5 days, so these guys should be rested up despite the fact that a heavy dosage of injuries that these guys are dealing with. Yes, other teams have injuries too, so you really can't use it as much of an advantage for your season. Going down the toilet, I'm talking to you Lions and Pistons nations as well. But Kemba Walker has been even more than the Celtics expected, and they probably expected a lot from their point guard coming over in a sign-and-trade after agreeing to come over in free agency. He's getting 23.5 points per game. Tatum, Brown, and Hayward follow after that. I don't know that there's much in terms of role players. I don't watch the Celtics as a habit too much, but I mean, the Daniel Tice, I don't think he's made the leap that maybe they were hoping. He's a guy who's killed the Pistons in the past. You got to watch out for him. You know, Time Lord not playing tonight, but everyone freaked out last year about how good he was because it's Boston. We always got to freak out about their sports prospects. But I don't know. I don't see it. I don't think they've had a really nice draft surprise in a while. Going into the draft, if you listen to this show, you know there's really not much that I like about Grant Williams. I think he's a low to the floor player. And that being said, I think he has a low ceiling to his game. Sure, he seems a smart player. He's an experienced player coming out of college, but really not making an impact right now for the Celtics, which is not what you want out of those experienced college players that you take. You want those guys to help out right away, especially given that, like I said, I don't see any kind of real NBA starter type of potential or impactful starter out of Grant Williams. So despite what all the Boston heads say, not really a guy that I pin a lot of hopes on. Romeo Langford panned when that draft choice was made, and nothing seen from him that makes you believe that he's really going to be much for them. Obviously, the career is short so far. We don't want to make absolute judgments on any rookies out there, but again, not a guy that's doing anything right now for them. Carson Edwards is in the G League right now, so a guy that a lot of people felt like they stole. He's been struggling enough where he's on assignment and their G League team. But still, all that said, Celtics are better than the Pistons, no doubt about that. And they're 7.5 or 8-point favorites at home against the Pistons, as you might expect. But then the Pistons come back for Saturday against Chicago. We're going to talk about them next. And then they play Philly on Monday back at home as well. And that's it before Christmas, before Washington comes into Detroit on Thursday, the day after Christmas, for a home game for Detroit there while your boy is at the Quick Lane Bowl. So I believe that does it for the little bit of a home stretch before they hit the road for 6 in a row at the turn of the new year there. But the original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 toward a select mattresses by visiting casper.com/LockedNBA and using LockedNBA at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's casper.com/LockedNBA, not LockedOnNBA. And using the promo code LOCKEDNBA at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from the Lockdown sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Like I said, up next, we're going to talk about the Bulls a little bit and also going to tell you why this is a showcase weekend for the Pistons roster. That's coming up next here on the Lockdown Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we are going to hit the Google voicemail line, but before we move on to the next Pistons opponent, and that's Chicago on Saturday night. Let's go back and take a look at the last Pistons opponent. A tough night in Detroit on Wednesday night for the Toronto Raptors. They get the win, as we remember, but man, not without a price. Marc Gasol out for a few weeks, Pascal Siakam out indefinitely, and Norman Powell out as well with injuries. The Raptors are not going to enjoy thinking back of their time in Detroit City. A rough night for them despite the win. Man, and it wasn't, you know, these weren't dirty plays or anything close to that by the Pistons. Just unfortunate, and we don't want to gain the reputation of people injuring folks out there. But, man, a tough one to see for a team in the Eastern Conference that's really having a nice feel-good story, making a concerted effort at getting back to the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe even the NBA Finals. And too bad for them. But we will not weep for the defending NBA champions because the Pistons have their own problems, including Chicago. Coming in here on Saturday night, most nights are rough for the Chicago Bulls these days, just like Detroit. Pistons are 1-4 on the second half of a back-to-back so far this year, with the only win coming against the Brooklyn Nets on a night when Brooklyn was also on a back-to-back. So the Pistons win at a rest disadvantage on the second half of a back-to-back, are 0-4 this season. But Chicago presents a golden opportunity to get that first win against a team that is playing the Pistons that second half of back-to-back. But the Bulls come into the game a game behind the Pistons at 11-19. That might be turned into a half game or a game and a half, depending on how things go tonight for the Pistons in Boston. But the Bulls got a win in overtime against the Washington Wizards after making a big comeback in regulation. That was Wednesday night, and no games since then. So a lopsided rest advantage for the Chicago Bulls in their last six. Chicago has alternated loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. So they are due for a loss. Pistons will win this one. No doubt about that. Patterns never stop, right? If only that was the case. But Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine both had good games on Wednesday, but that has not been happening this year for them very much. They are struggling. Zach LaVine is getting 23 points a game, but he's the kind of the ultimate where are you going if he's your best player kind of guy. Stand in for Lauri Markkanen with the hopes that Markkanen and Wendell Carter kind of become that guy in the future, Kobe White. So not a horribly bad thing for them, especially because his contract will run out someday and they'll probably move on. But he's kind of like Andre Drummond in that way. Like, if he's your best player, where are you going? And again, not a certainly a bad thing to say about guys. They're NBA stars. It doesn't mean those guys are bad NBA players either. It's just kind of miscast by bad organizations. At this point here, Zach LaVine really kind of shooting well from three, up near 40%. So kudos to him for that in a situation that he's struggled in throughout his career so far. Pistons killer, and a guy that I know a lot of you guys would like to see on the Pistons roster at some point, and that's Otto Porter. He is out for them these days. And like I said, Wendell Carter, second-year player out of Duke, a guy they had a lot of hope for, a guy that you like when you see him in small doses playing against the Pistons or playing in other games that you catch the Bulls in. He's getting 12-10 these days. Pretty good defense, pretty good rebounding, but not really the strides that they've looked for offensively so far, which is kind of a pattern with Jim Boylan's team this season, one that a lot of people expected would make big strides this year, and they are not doing that, but certainly like the Pistons, still within a puncher's chance and a spitter's length of getting into the playoff race, really kind of are in the playoff race despite being 11-19. That's how sad this piss-poor conference is. Rookie Kobe White getting 11 points a game, the point guard with the afro. Really bad efficiency, though. Remember, your boy Matt wasn't very high on him coming out of the draft while everyone went nuts about how good he is. I watched some North Carolina games last year. Wasn't really all that impressed with Kobe White, so you know, fast guy, good athlete. We'll see how his career comes together, but certainly not the rookie season that the Bulls were hoping for out of him. And really, Markkanen, Carter, Kobe White, go down the list. You can go back to Denzel Valentine, who's kind of resuscitating his career a little bit, the former Michigan State Spartan. Chris Dunn, I know, wasn't a draftee for the Bulls, but another guy who's really not developing like they would have hoped, although he's playing a lot better this year, especially defensively right now for the Chicago Bulls. I wonder if a team could be smart and maybe get Chris Dunn on a nice contract to be a backup point guard. He is a free agent after this year. Keep that one in your back pocket, especially if the Pistons have a need there. And you know, even if they have Derrick Rose going into next season, there will certainly be minutes available with you know, Bruce Brown maybe taking some of those minutes. Reggie Jackson, all things considered, probably going to be not a member of the Detroit Pistons next year. So, yeah, I mean, there's a team that I follow a little bit closer than your average teams. Because, you know, I used to live in Chicago and covered the Bulls for the Associated Press quite a bit. So I know this team pretty well and looking forward to seeing how the Pistons match up. They went to Chicago twice already this year and lost both of those games. We remember the showers of adoration that Derrick Rose got in those games, the Chicago Sun, the guy, an athlete who's tied to Chicago, maybe more than any player in the NBA. I would not be shocked at all if he has some sort of victory lap in Chicago later on in his career. Would not surprise me one bit, and I think that would be nice for Bulls fans and NBA fans across the world, and the Rose stands. There's so many of you guys out there to just love Derrick Rose more than you love life itself. I think I speak for most of Pistons Nation and Pistons Twitter when we say, cool it, just a little bit on the Derrick Rose love. Great player, and I appreciate he meant a lot to your childhood and meant a lot to your basketball fandom and was a significant player and someone who beat the odds and came from where he came from and certainly one of the more exciting players we've seen in this generation. But those people, wow, they just love them some Derrick Rose. And I'm jealous, right? If I loved anything like they love Derrick Rose, I think I would have a life of a little bit more passion than maybe we do right now. But my main thing for this weekend is kind of a theme, thinking about not only the fact that you got Boston, Chicago, and Philly. That's the first thing. I mean, that's three cities that you want to beat in sports, right? Three cities that kind of overshadow Detroit in really kind of all ways. They're perceived as cooler cities, historic cities, bigger cities, places that people want to live in more than Detroit. So our underdog mentality kind of comes out when you mention those cities. Everyone in the Midwest wants to move to Chicago, or you want to go out east and live in Boston, Philly to a lesser extent, but a cool place with a lot of history, too, that I don't know if I've ever been to Philadelphia, by the way, which is weird. But, cities that are fine and we like them, but we want to beat their sports teams real bad. It kind of, like I said, gets that hair on the back of your neck up when you hear about those sports cities doing well as they have over the years, won some championships in all of those places. So would be good to beat the Chicagos and Phillies and Bostons of the world. But the other thing that stands out about these teams in particular, speaking more about Boston and Philadelphia, two contenders in the Eastern Conference, obviously, but this could be showcase games for the Pistons players. Andre Drummond has been linked to the Boston Celtics quite a bit over the years. I don't know if there's any smoke or any fire to go along with that smoke that we've heard, but they're a team that needs help in the middle. Now, Andre Drummond is such a big contract and an all-star. I don't know if that's the kind of help that they might be looking for down low. You lose an Al Horford. You lose Aaron Baines. You basically hope that Time Lord steps in. I hate that nickname, by the way. People think they're so funny they came up with that. Just the Boston hate just oozes out of me. I hope you guys don't mind. But, having Daniel Tice is a really important part of your blow post game, and not really much behind that. Enes Kanter was brought in, and we know about his ability offensively and his disability, let's say, defensively, although I think that's a little bit overblown, too. But, there's maybe not a realistic scenario that Andre Drummond comes over from the Pistons to the Celtics, but, maybe Gordon Hayward, salary-wise, makes some sense as a reclamation project for the Pistons with some sweetener upgrades to the Pistons on the wing. You have to take a gamble on his injuries, and you probably have to, like I said, get some of that pot sweetened up a little bit to take a bigger contract in Gordon Hayward compared to Andre Drummond for a player of lesser production, all things considered, than Andre Drummond these days. But who knows if something like that could happen for the Pistons. Hayward's a guy who has a $34 million player option next year. I can't imagine a world that he turns that down. So he's a guy that you're going to have for more likely than not two seasons, just like Andre, although Andre, like we know, has indicated that he may forego his player option for next season. Again, I don't really see how this works, Andre Drummond to Boston, because they've got some reasonable contracts over there. You look at their cap sheet. Those young wings are under very reasonable deals. Makes me very jealous as a Pistons fan to have very productive players and their rookie deals in some cases, or some of those rookie extensions like Marcus Smart. And, obviously the big payday coming for Jaylen Brown, he's going to get a big raise starting next year. But still, pretty well done by Danny Ainge and the front office, stockpiling all those picks and turning them into pretty good players. So kudos to them, unlike the Chicago Bulls, who looks like that maybe they have struck out a little bit on some of those picks. Although I would say that Brad Stevens and the coaching staff, compared to Jim Boylan and the coaching staff, probably has a lot to do with that. And we'll throw Fred Hoiberg's tenure into that negativity as well. But Monday, speaking of showcase games, Langston Galloway and Derrick Rose playing against the Philadelphia 76ers. The more and more I think about my idea of Langston and Rose packaged to Philly for that Oklahoma City protected first-round pick that likely matriculates into two second-round picks going forward along with Zaire Smith and Mike Scott, man, I just can't stop thinking about how much I like that trade for both sides. I think that makes Philly really helps them. I think Derrick Rose helps them as a fourth-quarter player, believe it or not, despite all that great talent that they have in Philly. I don't know that this is a team that really knows how to finish games and has a guy that can put the ball in their hands late in games like Derrick Rose can. I know he's a bench player and going to be limited minutes, but he would really help them. And then Langston Galloway, of course, helps their outside shooting. He's a guy who played at St. Joe's as well, nearby to Philly, so knows the area, and the fans would jump on him right away. Like I said, this is a team that needs spacing, needs three-point shooting. The contracts are reasonable. It's expiring for Langston. It would very much benefit a Philly team that has been known to make these kind of deals. That helps them a lot. Now Elton Brand is kind of putting the foot on the gas pedal and pushing forward with this team, and there's an argument to be made for that, and this would be another move to help and signal that direction. That Derrick Rose contract that the Pistons signed this offseason is as good as it gets in the NBA right now. And with the Pistons where they're at, which I believe is kind of going nowhere at this point, moving players that are productive, that have value around the trade market for pieces that could help you out in the future is something that they should definitely be exploring. Although, counterpoint to that is that Derrick Rose could have a lot of trade value next year. Derrick Rose could be a guy who could help the Pistons team next season going into next year as well. So I see the arguments on either side, but I really think that Langston Galloway and or Derrick Rose to the Philadelphia 76ers makes a lot of sense for both of these franchises. But a move that would make a lot of sense for you if you're looking for a last-minute fun sports gift for the holidays, go to BreakingTee.com/LockedOn. Breaking Tee makes sports T-shirts around teams' passion moments. Great for all fans, if only we followed a team that had passion moments around them right now. But go to BreakingTee.com/LockedOn, and then feel free to search the site for great shirts and fun sports gifts. Up next, we're going to hit the Google voicemail line and hear from y'all. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
This is Sean in Grand Haven. The Pistons really need to use Luke Kennard and have him shoot 20-plus shots a game and mandate that, because right now they're shooting 10, 12 shots passing to the likes of Brown, and that's just not going to get it done, as we've seen over and over.
Thanks to Sean in Grand Haven for the brief call. We really appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a frustrating week for Luke Kennard. Certainly Monday was bad when he took, I believe, 11 shots without Griffin and Drummond in the lineup, and then followed that up with less than that, like 2-for-5 or something on Wednesday with those guys back in the lineup. So, yeah, it's frustrating, especially when the Pistons lose games. Luke Kennard, a very talented offensive player. I don't know, a little unnecessary jab at Bruce there. I mean, Luke shoots 12 times a game. Bruce shoots 7 times a game. So it's not like that doesn't seem completely out of whack. You know, in the big picture, Luke Kennard shoots the 4th most on the Pistons behind Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and Derrick Rose. It's not really that bad. The consistency is probably the issue, and he's not 4th by a little bit. I mean, he's 4th by a lot, 12.1 to 8.6 shots per game over Langston Galloway, who's 4th, followed by Markieff Morris, who's 5th, and then Bruce Brown, who's 6th at 7.1. So, yeah, again, we'd like to see more consistency out of Luke Kennard. This is an organizational issue at this point, all the way down. I'll blame Tom Gores for it. Not really, probably. But, yeah, Luke Kennard needs to be developed. I think, you know, that's a Dwayne Casey thing and Luke Kennard thing in most particular, and I think that there's a little bit of a rift there. I don't know what the deal is, and you know, hopefully it's something that gets ironed out, or maybe there needs to be some other solutions that need to be addressed going forward. Next caller.
Hey, Matt, this is Mark calling from Grand Rapids. Enjoy the show. That new intro is fire. We're going to Andre Drummond. I appreciate your take on him. I understand sunglasses, the avocado thing, maybe blowing a lot of proportion, but let's take a minute to at least don't feel bad for the guy who wants to live in a world where you can't have avocado or even guacamole. But, back to point, it's a macro thing. It's not just that he's not a fit for this team. He kind of reminds me of Kevin Love back when he was in Minnesota. He was a guy that put up huge stats, looked great in the highlight reels, but if you take the time to really break down his game, the decision-making, the winning plays, he doesn't play winning basketball. He's been healthy most of the time in Detroit, that much to his credit. But how many games have we won? Not many. He just isn't the foundational player we had all hoped he would be. And similar to Kevin Love, he didn't, you know, he found success when he went to Cleveland. He was that slightly overqualified third banana behind Kyrie and LeBron. And I see that as really Drummond's best pathway to success, kind of being that slightly overqualified third banana behind two legitimate stars that make those winning plays, can orchestrate the offense, and play some real defense. And I don't think that's ever going to happen in Detroit unless, you know, the Trailblazers go crazy and decide to give us Damian Lillard for our poo-poo platter of expiring contracts. I'm not going to hold my breath. Keep up the good work, brother. Mark out.
Mark out, indeed. Mark from Grand Rapids, I believe a first-time caller there. A couple of guys from the west side of the state, so thanks to you guys for calling. Hope to hear from you guys again as the season and the seasons continue. But, yeah, I mean, I love the avocado dig, who wants to live in a world without guac? Certainly not me, so you feel bad for the big fella. We've talked about Avocado Gate ad nauseum. I went overboard with my criticism on Tuesday. Then I probably went overboard with the apology on Thursday. Good times. That's what we do here on our daily podcast world about the NBA. But, yeah, I kind of agree with Mark in that Andre's miscast is the second-best player on a team, and he's probably not going to drag that kind of team to a deep run in the playoffs really at any point in his career. But, and you know, there's some criticism that goes along with that, but I think that's more of a Pistons problem, more of an organizational problem. You might have mentioned the Kevin Love comparison, which I think is an apt one, but I don't think, you know, I think the organization of the Minnesota Timberwolves is a problem with that. The David Kahn era was a bad one. The Stan Van Gundy executive era was a bad one, and it's being followed up by the Ed Stefanski era, which has been a pretty impotent one. And that's not really a criticism. I just think that they're kind of hamstrung and haven't really been allowed to make any moves and haven't really made any moves. So they're kind of passing the buck at this point. But thanks again to you guys for the calls. I really appreciate it. Good takes there. And looking forward to hearing from some more of you guys as the end of December approaches and we look towards 2020 as well. That'll do it for another outstanding week of Locked On Pistons podcasting. We'll be back on Monday. Looking back on two games this weekend, looking ahead to the Philadelphia 76ers as we roll to the holiday season. Hope you guys are enjoying it, getting all your work done so you can enjoy some time with your family going forward. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone. Get that shopping done.